if you're viewing like eating out as just that pitfall where you always end up overindulging, you always end up eating things you wouldn't otherwise eat had you been at home or not in that situation. So whether it's because you're traveling, whether it's for work, or whether it's just because, hey, you had that night out, like two nights out, you don't have to abandon like your what you want in terms of your nutrition when you dine out.
Right.
All we want to share is that balance. Like, this is the tips on how to keep the balance and how to make smart decisions even before you get to the restaurant. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys coming and sitting in with us and listening each week as we dole out some helpful health and fitness tips. You guys can obviously, always encourage you guys to give us the iTunes ratings and reviews, but also make sure you guys have the addictedtofitnesspodcast.com, the website.
Yes.
Bookmarked.
Yes.
That is very important because our show notes are going up there now. Instead of the old website, now we're doing all the show notes on addictedtofitnesspodcast.com.
Yep.
And then also, speaking of rating reviews, you can actually leave reviews on the Facebook page.
Yeah, if you really want to let us know just kind of what you're thinking. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, it's always good to leave a review.
Yeah, so I mean, we've gotten some, especially like speaking of our listeners talk back segment, we've gotten some especially from last week's post. You guys may know, hopefully most of you know, that we also do a Instagram post for each episode, and usually you'll see these images either we'll put them on the Facebook page, we'll put them on Twitter and things like that, and but they usually debut on Instagram under the ET Tampa handle. Yeah. So this last week's episode, we talked about new parent anxiety. And of course, we used a little tugged at the heartstrings picture.
Yeah, I think it was especially, it made most parents, any and all aged parents react, which was exactly the intention.
Exactly.
Our topic was new parent anxiety. So. Right.
Yeah, it was a little picture of Ella. I mean, it was several months ago.
Yeah.
But it was just like a little kind of, anybody that has an iPhone knows you can do the burst of picture. You just hold the button down and just keep shooting constant photos. So I had a set of about 10 photos. And of course, one of them sticking out her lower lip very pronouncedly and looked like she was giving quite the sad face. And
yeah, she looked like she was about to burst into tears. Mm-hmm. And like, of course, your parent instinct is just to be like, oh my gosh, what's wrong?
Yeah. So of course, we had some, that comment was from Stacy Birch, my mom. She made a comment and asked why Ella was so sad.
Yeah. I think pretty much everybody that I showed that picture to, like the podcast picture, commented something similar. Like, oh my gosh, why is she sad?
Yeah. And then our good friend and longtime listener, Adrian, she actually sent a comment, but it was basically more that, you know, that she always enjoys listening to us discuss kind of the important topics.
Yes.
You know? So not just going, trying to talk about, you talked about this last week when we were discussing kind of our podcast outlines and stuff. And, when we were brainstorming for podcasts that, we should always, you know, just share things that's kind of relevant to our life too. Usually because there is a lot of health and fitness stuff that's relevant to our life.
Yeah. And I think, and of course we welcome any feedback on the topic, but we really want to know what that perfect balance is in terms of, you know, the information that we're sharing that's more fact-based and more kind of tips and I'm not going to say professional, but, you know, straight like information versus the kind of personal side, which I actually really like in podcasts. And I think we base this podcast a lot off of, you know, the kind of tidbits that we like from just podcasts in general.
Right.
You know, we are creating a podcast that we ourselves would want to listen to and do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to have that personal side and personal element, because I like listening to what podcasters get up to. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's only so much you can communicate when you've got, you know, lots of interviews or I like it when they do like the actual personal sit down kind of reflecting on what's really happening in their life, not just whomever it is that they're talking to.
No, I agree. I think, you know, relating the podcast more to our everyday, not everyday life, but to our life, is what more people I think are interested in, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, as you said, I don't want to reiterate what you said again, but it's, people I think are diehard fans are fans of ours, not necessarily just the topics we talk about. So,
yeah, that's what sets us apart. We're different.
Right.
They can go to other health and fitness type people as well, but we're special. We're unique.
We like to think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we appreciate all the comments we get from you listeners and all the love. So, yeah, so let's get into our training recaps for this week. I'm going to lead off because I teased this, I think, in last week's episode that I actually went to a yin yoga and CBD oil workshop. And unfortunately, I was just a few minutes late, so I didn't get a full explanation of the CBD oils.
No, I'm nuts.
But luckily, as we mentioned, I think before, the person who put on the workshop and yoga session is a coworker of yours.
Yeah.
So I know I connected with her a little bit on Instagram, thanked her for the class, and I'm going to get some more details about CBD and relate it to you guys because that's something I'm very interested in. But I did take the yin yoga class, which was very, very unique. You know, we did some moves that you're probably familiar if you've done yoga before. You know, down dog, cat cow, other things, you know, pigeon pose, but we had essentially all the, I don't know what you call them, props, or is that what you would call
props.
Them? So I had the block, I had the bolster.
Yep.
I've never even used a bolster before, which is
They're
like a big
freaking
pillow.
Amazing. Yeah.
Is that a good way to describe it? A big pillow?
It is.
Okay. I had a sandbag.
Yep.
So a little sandbag weight. I had a strap.
Yep.
So I got to use all that stuff, which I've never done. I've really never used. I mean, I've used a block before. I don't think I've used it in yoga before. But actually, I think I've probably done a session with you and you've used a block before, because I know you're a pretty big fan of the props, I believe.
Right? I am.
So yeah, I got to use a lot of that stuff, and very, I think we mentioned this before, restorative type of yoga. It wasn't like she even said it was. This isn't like your power flow or anything like that. It's very slow, very deliberate, and she focused more. And it was really cool because it's she really focuses a lot on, you know, connective tissue and joint, and, you know, ball. She talks about the ball and socket and trying to get more of the mobility out of the certain areas in the hips, especially, you know, like when we were doing our pigeon. Then a lot of kind of cues for how you should be holding certain areas of your body, you know, what you should be doing with certain areas of your body, you know, not loading into the lower back or things like that, and, you know, pulling your shoulder blades away from your ears and things. So those have a lot of similarities to a lot of the mobility training that I'm receiving now.
I'm telling you, I think whoever created that was like either studied or had been very inspired by yoga, because there's a lot of crossover.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did the yin yoga on a Friday night, and then I taught my stick mobility class on Saturday morning, and it was like It inspired me somewhat.
Yeah.
You know, using some of the cues that Megan was giving out. And, you know, I'm a huge believer too on, you know, focusing on your breath when you exercise, and not just, and obviously I'm sure people have taken yoga, have heard a lot about that. But when you're doing, I don't want to call it formal exercises, not, but when you're doing more like gym exercises or you're doing like weight training or something like that, I don't think people focus enough on how important breathing is with those, like syncing your, I always say sync your reps up to your breathing, or sync your breathing up to your reps, you know, concentric motion. When you basically, if you're doing a bench press and you're pushing out, you know, push your breath out with it and then inhale when the weight comes back down on the eccentric motion, things like that. So
yeah,
I really enjoyed it. And I feel like I was thinking about this while I was doing it last night. It's, obviously, I know you're now you're a bona fide yoga teacher. You've got your certificate. You actually picked that up this week, right?
I didn't tell you what happened.
Did you want to share it here or no?
So I have finished my training. I have 100% finished my training. My teachers have said, yes, you're good to go. We've got your certificate. I went in to pick it up, and they forgot to put a date on it. And in order to register with Yoga Alliance, which is where the registered yoga teacher, like RYT title, comes in, is you have to have the completion date that aligns with what your, you know, whatever your school or your studio was. So I need to know what date they put on there, whether it's like my class that I graduated with or the actual date that I handed in the last of my homework.
Right.
So I didn't know that. And then the person, the poor person from the front desk that was trying to help me, was like, I really hesitate giving this to you without like all the information completed. And I just was like, you know, palm to forehead, just damn it. I had made a special trip over there for it and everything, but it just wasn't meant to be. So I did email them, and actually, I was going to try to pick it up this weekend.
Oh, okay.
So I am actually like a 100% done, but I just have to, it's a matter of paperwork at this point.
Okay. Well, then, you know, it's a formality essentially. So you are, but I was thinking like, I know you're, now legit. Well, no, you were legit before, but now bona fide.
I have a title.
Yoga instructor. Yes.
Yeah.
Are there like parent-child yoga classes?
Absolutely.
Now I've heard mommy and me, but what about like mommy, daddy, and baby?
I mean, there's usually some kind of like, they cater the parent and baby to women because it's also a postpartum yoga class. Mm-hmm. But I have heard that they say, like they've said, men can absolutely come.
Right. Okay.
And there's just probably going to be some references to body parts that just are not going to be there for
pelvic
a guy.
Pelvic floor talk, a lot of pelvic floor talk.
Men have pelvic floors the same as women do, but they probably don't have to really talk about like, you know, the same exact graphics that might get discussed in terms of some of that. And, I mean, like, your boobs are a really big part of postpartum, so.
Oh, like, I thought you were talking my boobs. You like
your boobs aren't, but, you know, females, that's like, there's a lot of tightness that happens in the chest area, so they usually focus on that. So. Mm-hmm. But, yes, there absolutely are, like, parent-baby classes. There are not a lot, though.
Right. I imagine, because I can't imagine it being, I mean, we know how Ella is. Just she's pretty good sitting for, it depends on the time of the day and everything.
Yeah, these classes, like, it's the one reason that I haven't taken her in. Like, as much as I love the idea, taking her into a studio for an hour-long class sounds like torture, because she would lose interest in about 5 minutes, and then she would just want to be doing something else. Yeah. So I've done like some yoga at home with her, And it's about 5 to 10 minutes is usually like the grace period she'll give me. And then after that, she's like, she wants to be on to the next thing.
Right. So I get it. Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of thought crossed my brain, but we'd probably be better off doing it here. Leading me through something.
Yep.
Or leading us through something.
We could absolutely do that. All right. Yeah.
So that was our little training recap. And like I said, yin yoga, something I'd like to do more of in the future.
Yeah. I will say that I'm starting to hear more people talk about the fascia, which is the connective tissue.
Yep.
Which is literally like it connects and encases, and it's like there's so much of it in your body that it needs to be paid more attention to, because it affects like everything from how you move to, you know, your agility, your posture, everything. Because you see pictures of older people that start getting that, like, it's almost like they're curling into the fetal position. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is due to like connective tissue and that fascia like tightening.
Right.
You see people that are like, you know, have horrible posture. It's not necessarily just like bones and things that may have changed. It's a lot of times it starts with that connective tissue.
Right.
So like the best poses, in my opinion, for yin yoga are the ones that have me like elevated slightly on like a bolster or blocks, and then my arms outstretched and hanging down, because like the whole front body gets this amazing stretch. Like you never just lay like that normally.
Right. That's, we did that for, I think, the start and
the class, my gosh, it's amazing.
That was like our resting position. So that was interesting. Yeah, I'm a fan, and you know, we're hitting on it a lot, and we've interviewed people talking about stretching and everything and mobility, the importance on that. And it's, I think it's an aspect of fitness that more and more people are starting to realize they need to start adding to their regular training. Another part of health and fitness that you need to, I think, pay attention to, obviously, is your nutrition. And
that was a segue and a half.
Yes. So, and one thing that kind of, I would say, could be a roadblock to proper nutrition. It doesn't necessarily have to be, but for especially for certain people, is dining out. You know, there are some people
it's a really big obstacle.
Right. Because there are a lot of people that they eat a lot. They eat out a lot. Either they travel for work, or maybe they're in the business where they have to take, clients, or, you know.
Yeah, they
take
go people out. Yeah.
So they eat out a lot, and they realize they may need to make better dietary choices. So today we're going to give kind of our little, suggestions or kind of tips we would give for if you're really trying to hunker down and stick to a clean eating plan, of how maybe you can do that while if you dine out a lot.
Yeah, and even this isn't, obviously there's tons of different diets, and based off of your diet, you're going to have specific eating guidelines that is going to dictate what you choose off of a menu. And the restaurant you go to, it's going to change what you choose on your menu.
Right.
What we're really trying to share is just kind of like those general, like for general eating out, if you are a person who is trying to make smart decisions, if you're viewing like eating out as just that pitfall where you always end up overindulging, you always end up eating things you wouldn't otherwise eat had you been at home or not in that situation. So whether it's because you're traveling, whether it's for work, or whether it's just because, hey, you had that night out, like two nights out with friends or whatever, you don't have to abandon like what you want in terms of your nutrition when you dine out.
Right.
All we want to share is that balance. Like, this is the tips on how to keep the balance and how to make smart decisions even before you get to the restaurant, all the way through.
Right. So what would you say? Like, I know that was something you kind of just alluded to right there. Before you even get into the restaurant, what would you tell them to do?
Yes. So this is one of my, when I actually did a short stint of personal training, not official, personal training for some friends years ago. And this was my like number one advice to anybody that has to go out to eat regularly. Know where you're going ahead of time. So even if it's just like, okay, so the people at work say, hey, we're going to go to this restaurant. We're gonna hit that at like 12:30. Chances are you probably have at least 10 minutes to get on your phone, get on your computer, and take a look at that restaurant's menu. Most restaurants have online menus. Mm-hmm. And you should be able to scope out even a general one. You might not know all their specials, but you can at least see the general menu and just kind of learn the lay of the land, because if you can actually figure out what you want to order before you get there and right. start kind of getting the pressure and yeah. sort of the temptation, because yeah. that other person next to you is ordering, you know, a dessert, or this person over here or ordered like the deep mm-hmm. fried option, and you're like, ooh, that sounds good. Make your decision, see the menu, yeah. make your decisions ahead of time. That's a really good way to help you stay out of the danger area.
Yeah, it's kind of the similar when we talk about grocery shopping. Make a list before you go. Don't just go, especially don't go hungry.
Yeah.
Because then you'll buy the whole store. So that's another good tip. Yeah, make your plan before you get in there. And, you know, if you've decided that you really want to make a conscious effort to monitor your nutrition, you've got to take the extra step to kind of make sure you do so. You can't allow temptation to kind of sway you when you get there. So my kind of first thing is, what's the first thing the waiter or waitress asks you when you sit down? You know, one of the first things. I wouldn't say the first thing. So one of the first things. They ask you, what would you like to drink?
Right.
All right. So especially now, if you're depending if this is for business and you're entertaining or something, you know, it depends what time of day. I mean, are you going to have a cocktail or not? Normally, you know, just water and lemon's good, some unsweet tea. But if you're going cocktail route, say you're taking a important client out or something, you want to have a cocktail. We would say, I don't want to speak for you. Basically clear, distilled spirits with, you know, some sort of either on the rocks, neat, or with soda water. That's kind of always my go-to. Vodka and soda, that's what I would always suggest.
That's my safety drink right yeah. there.
So, I mean, you're looking for, obviously, if you want to entertain somebody, you want to have a cocktail, I would vote for that just because it's very, I mean, the excess calories are next to nil, essentially. And then, you know, you're also avoiding any sugary sweet mixers. I love an old fashioned, but, you know, it does have sugar in it. So, and then that's kind of on the low scale compared to all the other drinks that are out there. And when you get into beer and wine, too.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one thing, like if you're having a cocktail, go based off of, it should be the more transparent and the more the less color. I was going to say the more clear, the less color and the more transparent, the better it is for you in terms of like the calories and yeah. the sugar and all of that. Because as you start adding colors,
yeah.
You're adding the mixers, you're adding the sweeteners, mm-hmm. And you're also possibly adding like liqueurs and things like that as well, which are just basically pure sugar. I would say that that's a really good rule, in terms of like cocktails. If you're a person that likes wine, I know that it's down to your personal preference, but sticking with one glass and kind yeah. of nursing that through your, like, not ordering it right away yeah. and actually nursing it through your meal will help you hang on to it a little right. bit longer.
And I think we've talked about this and talking about what if there are any health benefits to alcohol, but we talked about, I think it was dry reds are usually the best as far as sugar content when that goes. But obviously with alcohol, you've got, you reach a point pretty quickly of diminishing returns anyways.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, even if you do drink clear vodka sodas, if you drink, you know, three or four, you're dealing with the negative effect of the alcohol on your body.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about just maybe having a cocktail with dinner or something like that. But all right, so
this is like best case scenario.
Exactly.
If you find yourself, you need a drink.
Right.
This is how to pick a good one.
You got it. And so now we've basically got the drink down, and normally, usually, obviously, any good fine dining restaurant, or not, I shouldn't say fine dining because they don't always do, but there's always like a starter's menu or an appetizer's menu, okay? So I think most people, I'm really interested to see what you would say. Most people might think, don't go with appetizers. You know, I think stay away from appetizers. You know, you're trying to eat, you know, save yourself for the main meal, which I think there could be some value to that. But I actually think that maybe you should get an appetizer, make it something that's full of protein and healthy fats to help you be a little fuller going into your main meal, so you don't gorge and get a huge main meal and maybe even take some with you, you know, so you won't be hungry maybe later on. What do you think about that?
I think that that is a good idea. And I think it's one, especially if you're going to a restaurant that has a wider selection on appetizers. I know some restaurants have really limited options.
Yeah.
And you can't always get, as you said, a healthy fat. Like,
yeah,
some restaurants you go into, it is just like fried cheese, like, there's nothing good.
Oh, yeah.
Like nothing, or nothing super good. But what? I think the better the restaurant, probably the better the options for your appetizers going to be. So I would say that definitely has some good weight depending on the establishment that you are going to.
Yeah, and if, you know, depending on, like you said, the quality, usually you can still find a salad on there, so maybe having a salad before your dinner might be an option for you, because once you get to dinner, I think you were talking about it beforehand. I think you were saying focusing on what type of options mainly when you were dinners. You were saying not vegetarian necessarily, but more.
Oh, when we were talking separately.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a tip that I picked up kind of in the years when I was vegan vegetarian, but I've actually maintained it. Like when I am really watching what I'm eating, when I go out to eat, I tend to make the focus of my meal the vegetables. So I know that sounds a little bit backwards from what you probably typically think when you go out. But if you order a dish for the vegetables, or if you order like primarily vegetable dishes, then that's actually going to be more of like a complete balanced meal than what you are usually served by a restaurant. So usually their portions are, you know, again, this varies on the establishment, but especially in like mainstream chain kind of restaurants, you've got like a big honkin' hunk of like some kind of protein / starch / carb, and then a little side of vegetables. And that's the norm. And if you can flip that and you can make the focus, the biggest portion, be your vegetables, and then maybe you just have a little bit of like a protein or something like that, and a little bit of starch, like that would actually be a much more balanced and healthier option for your meal. You fill up on those vegetables. So, and you can even kind of use it as a general rule, like, so, okay, there's this vegetable appetizer, and then they have a number of salads, and then maybe if you go to an Italian restaurant, like, what are your chances you're going to be stuck with something? Like maybe you go for like the fish entree that has a side of vegetables, or maybe you go for the pasta that has like the vegetables in it, like a primavera or something like that. But there was something to that idea that I find still today that really helps me feel better when I walk out of a restaurant if I've been eating that way. I typically don't eat as much in terms of calories. I don't walk out feeling as full and like, you know, when you get that like overfull feeling, mm-hmm. I don't usually get that.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's a good tip. I would definitely say, you know, fibrous carbs, fill up on those. Because usually you have, hopefully you have a good option. Obviously, we keep saying this, but it does depend on where you go. But once you get when you order your entree, usually, like you said, you get your protein, you get a vegetable, and then you get a starch. In my opinion, depending on what your goals are, if it's weight loss, I would say nix the starch altogether and double up on the vegetables.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way. And like you mentioned, I think, especially with fibrous carbs, you get a little bit fuller faster. And then when you add that in with the protein, you'll definitely get a little bit fuller faster. So I think that, and if you paired that with trying to get an appetizer that is filling instead of like a basket of fries or the sampler. Or the starter sampler or whatever it was. And I ate many of those in my day before I really tried to focus on it. It was like chicken wings, mozzarella sticks, and nachos or something like that.
Geez.
So yeah, it was just carb galore. But yeah, if you get something more like a meat and cheese plate or even like some fresh vegetables and hummus and things like that. So something that will fill you up before your entree. So you can get an entree that's protein and maybe double up on the vegetables. And hopefully, you know, it kind of holds you off of the one thing that I think, especially when people eat out, that can really send their whole meal into a tailspin is dessert. Now, I know we love dessert, and I don't want to defame dessert in any way, but I think it's especially, you know, It's no mystery that what we think about sugar, you know, especially, you know, in excess, it's very extremely bad. And unfortunately, a lot of desserts have a lot of excess sugar. So, I mean, you might happen upon a dark chocolate flourless cake or something. But like I said, it also depends on the quality of the restaurant. So what I would say is hopefully you're too full to have dessert. If you aren't, if people are getting dessert at the table and you can really are kind of still trying to avoid it, I would say get a cup of coffee. And you can get a cup of decaf coffee if it's at night, you don't want a caffeine, because the coffee is usually a kind of a, hunger suppressant. You know, it can kind of, and it also gives you something to enjoy why somebody's enjoying dessert too. You know, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things of why people say, oh, let's get a dessert for the table.
Totally peer pressure.
Yeah, like, exactly.
As soon as one person says, oh, sure, it's like, oh, okay, me too.
Okay, yeah. We'll get something for the table. That is the worst words ever. If you've made it that far and then finally, the last second, they're like,
oh, we'll get the chef sampler so we can all have some. And it's like, you know, a plate of five desserts.
Yeah. So I would say that a coffee, you know, decaf or regular can kind of help you get through that period if you get to that period. But one thing I don't think we mentioned is you kind of touched on it a little bit, but big thing at a lot of restaurants is bread. They're just giving you bread. And I mean, obviously some restaurants better than others. And there's some restaurants you go to that even I would say you got to at least try the bread. But you can't just have them keep bringing loaves and loaves of bread to your table, because it's really that idea of healthy eating is going to be thrown out the window if you keep diving in the bread basket.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say try to cut them off before they even get to your table and say, you know, we don't want bread, especially depending on the rest of your party and stuff like that. So
I think a surprising number of restaurants nowadays too also just don't give you bread.
Yeah, I think, like, or they ask.
They're getting
stuff,
away from it because so many people have like started passing on that option.
And now that celiac especially has become not even, or what is it, gluten intolerance, I should say, not celiac.
Yeah. Yep. So I think that more restaurants are not even making it a, you know, forced upon you kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, just passing that as an option if and when it's presented to you. And if someone else at your table orders it, put it on the opposite side of the table so you can't reach it. Because if you can reach it, you're going to get it.
Yeah. Yes. And hopefully they don't put any delicious olive oil with seasonings or something with it.
Because that's horrible.
That's just torture. All right.
Is that place not your average Joe's? Have you ever been at one of those?
No, I thought that was a place in the Dodgeball movie. Or that was Average Joe's. That was the name of the gym in the Dodgeball movie.
I don't Something know like that. But it's a restaurant. I remember going into it up in New England. And they have this bread. And this cheesy olive oil dip. Like, I would literally just go for that. Like, I would order that in a salad. But I would know, like, that's what I was going there for. And I would order just a salad, and that's what I would have.
I bet you they loved you at that restaurant.
Why?
Why did they not love you? Because you just ordered a salad and
nothing else? You're being sarcastic.
Very sarcastic.
Yeah. I was not probably their normal customer. But yes, that is it's always a pitfall. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, try to avoid that. Those are our tips, guys.
Not all of them.
What's that?
I have other tips.
Okay. I would say those are my tips then. Sorry. What are your tips? What other tips you got?
I have some tips just in terms of having worked in restaurants for probably longer than I'm willing to admit. There are some kind of, like, good things to keep in mind in terms of like suggestions or special customizations or whatnot. So if you are looking to kind of steer away from heavy, like, calories and rich things that are going to be loaded with, like, lots of fat, not necessarily good fat, steer clear of things with heavy sauces. So a lot of dishes, the sauces are not just, like, made with the things. You know, if you order a salmon that has a sauce, most of the time, unless it's like it's like a baked casserole or something, the sauces are on the side. So you can choose, you can ask your server if they can put the sauce on the side, or you can just ask them if you want a particular dish, can I get that particular item, but instead of having it this way, just have it grilled.
Right.
And then another kind of customization that you can choose, some restaurants, instead of the heavy dessert, you can ask them if they have any fruit. So that's a really good way to get around the, if you're not a coffee drinker for dessert and you want to eat something, you want the sensation of food,
right?
Go for, like, as pure, close to just fruit as possible. Or they'll, like, a lot of restaurants might have, like, a sorbet or something that's probably a little bit lighter, like a homemade sorbet. It's just kind of like it's the lesser of the evils, like, if you have to have something. And then finally, and I would say that this is not necessarily a restaurant tip, but it's really just a great way to eat if you can. If you're going out with a group of people, you know that you guys, you know, maybe some people have different dietary needs, but most of you are just looking to eat well or try some new things. Order and eat family style.
Mm-hmm.
So order a bunch of menu items from the appetizers and the salads. And focus on those as, like, shared plates. So kind of like tapas.
Mm-hmm.
But then order, like, one entree for, like, every two or three people. And then try that entree, but just a smaller portion. So especially if you're a person that struggles with portion size in restaurants, this is a really great way. Not only to, this is also a less expensive way sometimes. To eat a really good meal, try some awesome food on the menu, but not overindulge,
right?
Because you are limited when you are sharing plates. I know, like, when we go to some of our favorite restaurants, we do that.
Right.
Like, we actually do that more often than not.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just such a great way to try lots of good things and then walk away feeling satisfied, satiated, but not stuffed and not like, oh, crap, I just blew, like, the whole week of good days I blew in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So those are just some additional tips on the idea of not killing your diet.
That's it. Nice. Those are some great tips, and I'm sure there are plenty other ones, and I'm sure you guys might have some that we didn't mention. So if you do, please feel free to share them. We already gave you all those sites, but probably Facebook is the most direct. We love people commenting on the Facebook page, and as you guys hear, your comments will be read on the future podcasts. So please go ahead and comment away, and also rating and review in iTunes, much appreciated.
Yep.
What else you got for them?
Nothing.
That's it. All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast.
Test.
There's your outtake.